Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
The Organization for Undoing Tax Abuse has welcomed the news that eTolls, as we know it, looks set to be scrapped. We want to get a little bit more information. I definitely should have felt better about this than I did, maybe because I had no intention of ever paying it. But either way, it is brilliant news that we seem to have moved away from the nonsense or from the absurdity that was eTolls. Stephanie Fick, who is the Executive Director of the Accountability Division of ATA. Good morning, Stephanie. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
Good morning. I am well. I'm proud of you. Take a high five because
yes.
It's because of people like you standing up to a scheme like this is the reason why we are here. Forcing government to listen and then get rid of a scheme like this that was just shrouded in corruption, would never have worked, cost the country and taxpayers an enormous amount of money. So you're well done.
Thank you. Yeah, it's just, I even got applause from the studio audience. But this is significant because it's almost one of the first times, and maybe it is the first time, that South African taxpayers have said, we're not going for this. This doesn't make sense. It smells of corruption. There's nothing rational about it. We aren't paying. Is it the first time that we've actually done that?
No, I think if we think back a little bit, you know, irrational laws. If you think about the PASS law, because of civil disobedience, basically, got rid of that. So there is a few examples in history where this has worked. I think in our new democracy, this is one of the examples, you know, that has worked for civil society. But I think hopefully government heard the message that, you know, if there's no public participation, if you are going to continue implementing these irrational policies and laws, you do not get the buy-in from the people. And that if the people make their voices heard, we are definitely a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah, and we really are. What does this mean, though, in terms of... There's obviously a very fine line between making your voice heard and lawlessness.
Yes.
How do we balance that? And that must be quite difficult for an organization such as yourselves.
Yeah, because we get the question quite often. And I mean, the next question that people ask about eTolls, but what about me that, you know, what about the motorists that paid? Because they thought that was the right thing to do. All I can say to them is we thought this is the right thing to do. So yes, there is a very fine line and very difficult. I think, you know, part of being an activist, it's so difficult to put down the line in the sand, but I think to just concentrate on eTolls for a moment, what felt right in this instance is that, you know, firstly, this was a scheme that nowhere else in the country is applicable. So they wanted to upgrade 186 kilometers of road surface. Now, SANRAL owes in the region of 2,000-odd road surface. This is but 1%. So this 186 kilometers was but 1% of what SANRAL owed. And they thought they were going to get 34% of their income from this little piece of road by having this scheme. Now, the scheme is not necessarily wrong. The scheme per se is not wrong. It works in other countries. The technology is not necessarily wrong. That's not the problem we have. In fact, I think many listeners and people out there will say, you know, I like the fact that I can have an e-tag and go through your long distance tolls. If I go down to Durban or, up north or whatever, it assists. But if you have a government that do not do public participation, they basically push this down your throat because now you're going to pay. SANRAL gets money from the fiscus to upgrade their roads. Why did they decide this scheme is going to work in Gauteng firstly, that only Gauteng motorists pay for this? And then all the corruption. The construction of this road was supposed to be around 10 billion. It ended up costing 17.7 billion, and that is not including the gantries and all of that.
Oh, wow.
And what did the Competition Commission do? You know, they settled with the construction companies. So I can go on and on and on, and it's all these little, you know, let's say all these things. I don't want to call it little because it was big in the biggest scheme of things. You know, all boils down to, but we're not going to stand for this.
Right. So, what was the reason then that you managed to overturn it? On what basis could this be overturned?
So, let me just go back in history a little bit. So firstly, you know, when people were driving down the road, all of a sudden the gantries went up. And then they start sniffing around, you know, Wayne Divenage and a handful of people in the beginning, trying to sort this whole thing out, and eventually had to go to court, but we lost in the Constitutional Court, who said that, you know, although, you know, we can't stop government from paving roads with gold. If they want to be stupid, your power that you have is make sure that you have the right people in power. But what we can do is, you know, if SANRAL wants to go after motorists like they did, then maybe there's a collateral challenge. And that is what we ended up doing, except for the fact that we decided we're going to expand our mandate. It's not just e-tolls. We did say, if you are summoned by SANRAL, we will, as long as we have the funds to do so, we will take your summons, we will appoint our attorneys, and we will defend it. And, you know, guess what? In March of 2019, SANRAL Board said, we're not going to go after people, we're not going to go after the debt, because that was the only means they had in order to sort of force people. You know, the minute you get a letter of demand, we're going to take you to court, people jump. But let's get to the compliance rate. Now, SANRAL needed, you know, around 94-95% compliance rate for this to be successful. They never reached those numbers.
No,
never.
Of course not.
I think the highest compliance rate was around 40%. We are now at 17%. So whether, you know, government has made this decision or not, this scheme has failed in any case. In any case. So all that has happened, and I can I please just alleviate fears? I mean, SANRAL has received over 22 billion rand already since 2018, or if you count everything that they received since 2014, this amount of money for the GFIPS specifically. So they get money from the fiscus to upgrade their roads, but they also got some money to cover the bonds, because that is the biggest fear out there, is what about the bonds? I think, you know, the government should have thought about this in the beginning. If you can't afford to do something this elaborate, then don't do it. We are still stuck in traffic. It was never supposed to alleviate all the traffic. I mean, the research shows about 5 years, then you're right back where you started. 5 years has passed and we haven't paid the bonds yet. If they've put 10 cents on the petrol levy right in the beginning, we would have paid this. No more interest.
That's so interesting.
And all of that. Yeah. And just on the petrol levy, I mean, they can't do it now. Thank goodness.
No.
And maybe an applause, we can applaud the minister here, is that he didn't even go there.
Right.
But the petrol levy went up.
There we go. Yes. That's for the minister. Yes.
Yeah. Because he could have set the petrol levy, which wouldn't have worked. I mean, we are overtaxed as it is. You know what the problem is? And I think that was sort of, you know, this campaign was about government should not blame civil society. They should go look at income expenditure and rather, you know, look where they spend their money. You know, rather put money behind campaigns that will eradicate the corruption, because we are like a bucket with holes in it when it comes to corruption. You know, let's get rid of the bloated government bill. I mean, we have so many ministers and then they want to have free electricity and water. That is unacceptable. Do not come to the public and say, we want you to pay because we need to get the funding somewhere because we don't have it. You have it. You must just make sure that your expenditure
and that you're not
goes
stealing
to the
it.
Places where it's needed.
What about something like a TV license? I mean, I would imagine that's another area of very low compliance.
Yeah, we commented on the new bill because I think what the SABC has realized is that their funding has dried up. And I think I heard a conversation the other day where this person was at the SABC years ago, and he said that they made money every 2 cents out of 3 cents was made out of advertising. And I think at some point with, you know, some of the state capture cabal, they got rid of this advertising stream. So, you know, the question is, why should I pay for a TV license if I do not watch the programs on TV? Which is a valid question, because I think this is probably, I don't watch TV because streaming and all of that. And there's sometimes really just nonsense on TV. But the idea about a public broadcast is started, you know, to educate people. There are people in, say, rural areas in town, wherever, that do not have access to anything but a radio. And we should not forget that your TV license also goes towards radio. Mm. In the past, we had a radio license and a TV license, and they put everything together. And the only reason why I still say, think about it. What is that thing? Think about it. It's the right thing to do is think about radio. If you listen to radio, please pay your TV license, because we need a public broadcaster for, you know, the people that do not have access to a national broadcaster otherwise and are stuck to radio. So that is my view, but it's still, you know, it doesn't say that SAB shouldn't look at their funding model.
Absolutely. And be responsible for the management of their own financials.
Exactly.
And I think that's the message all the way through is as a rule, people aren't objecting to paying for things when there's value or when there's some reason to do so. And the condition being that the money is used responsibly and not stolen.
Exactly. I think if the SABC give us the sort of the indication that they will go after the corrupt, that they will go find the money, and they're going to spend the money again where it's supposed to be spent. I agree with you. People tend to then say, okay, it's the right thing to do.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's where we leave it. Stephanie Fick, who is Executive Director of Accountability Division at Outer, talking to us about e-tolls.